say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. By the way, I love the name Open Wide because I remember when we first started doing this show, well, the three of us, and maybe Jennifer joined us, I can't remember, Jennifer Green, we tried to come up with titles for the show, names, and we weren't very good. I got to tell you, we were not, you know, we had writer's block or whatever you call it.
In the beginning, we did. Yeah, we had some really poor choices.
But then you came up with, which one of you came up with Open Wide? Because I think it's a wonderful.
It was between that and another name, Bite This.
Really? Really? That would have been interesting.
But I think Open Wide was the clear favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a wonderful name because it says it all. You know, Open Wide.
As soon as we said it, we knew that should be
yes.
the show title.
That happens.
As soon as we said it. Because everything else was like, this could be missing.
You know something? A photographer once took some pictures of me for something. He took about 7 or 8 pictures. And on the last one, he said to me, "That's your picture." So I'll tell you right now, I haven't developed it yet or anything. I can tell that's your picture.
Yeah.
Can you relate to that?
Yeah. Yes. As soon as we heard it, that was it.
Because I think we were like, was it probing? Healthy probings or probing you? Or
Solid bite was another one.
I mean, it was really hard to think of one. And then all of a sudden solid it was bite. Just, we started thinking about what are phrases we say around the office all the open wide.
Wow.
There it is.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. There you go. So that's the name of the show. Sue, you said to us, to me before we were recording, something about seminars that you've taken. And one of them is a seminar on cleanliness of your office and sterilization.
Yes.
Can you speak to that, please?
Well, we do have to, all medical professionals have to have so many hours of continuing education. And one of the tenets of dental ongoing education is we do have to educate ourselves every year on bloodborne pathogens and how to prevent the transmission of those in the dental office. It's OSHA mandated, which is a federal government body. Most of the time we roll our eyes when we hear about federal government institutions and
this
mandates.
Is something good.
But this is a good thing. These courses can be boring, but we have a particular teacher that we love, love, love to go to. She makes it very interesting. Her name's Lainey Kay. But what we've learned is dentistry actually does a superior job at reducing passing on bloodborne diseases and keeping our offices clean. I don't think in dentistry yet a dental healthcare worker has contracted HIV. In medicine, they can't say that. And I think vice versa back as well. I think we may have had one case, and I think the dentist actually did it on purpose.
It was on purpose.
There was some pathological issues with him. He was angry.
Yes. And the doctor purposely wanted to contract HIV?
He passed it on to his patients.
He purposely. It was vindictive.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yes.
No.
So he had it and then...
He had it and he, the thinking from the CDC is that he purposely infected, I think, about 4 or 5 patients.
Yeah.
No.
But what
terrible.
You know, what our patients don't see is in between patients, we're crazy nuts about cleaning down our rooms. Everything gets sprayed, disinfected, scrubbed, rubbed with, you know, not one but 2 different types of disinfectants. We change gloves to do it. We don't do it with our bare hands.
You don't skimp on anything.
Huh? We really don't. Well, and we take this class every year. And my sister is an intensive care room nurse and And the amount of infections that get passed in a hospital setting is 5 to 1 worse than a dental office. We really, our profession really does a good job at controlling this.
That's,
we really do. I'm proud of us.
That's our office.
Yeah.
That's our office.
Yeah.
But what about some of the other environments and offices, even dental offices, if they don't follow all the guidelines?
Correct. Absolutely.
We check our autoclave to make sure monthly that it reaches the temperature and the pressure necessary to kill bacteria.
Yeah, we've been doing that for years.
And we do that every month, but I don't think every office does that.
If they don't, I shudder. I would hate to be in that office.
And, you know, we talk about the cost of medicine, dental work, whatever. These are things that they have to have some effect on it, too, because, I mean, this is all labor. And
I think
labor and cost.
I think that if someone is pushed financially and stressed financially and someone, you know, goes to the least expensive option, then
they could skimp on these things.
Then they unfortunately, that could be part of it. Mm. That could be part of their business model. Maybe they have to stay in business. We talked about you worked for an office that went out of business.
Yes. Remember, now I'm just reporting what a past employee of ours stated. She worked in a managed care environment. I don't know if you remember this, Dr. Edelstein.
I don't.
But she said because they were so rushed for time, they approached their surgery every day with 10 surgical trays already set up. So they would use the top one, get done with that surgery, pull off the tray, and use the next one and the next one and the next one. By the time you're that seventh or eighth patient and that tray's been sitting on that countertop exposed to God knows what from the previous six patients, really? I'm just telling you what
just,
she told
just
us. What she
there.
Saw, what she witnessed.
I remember that
this
now.
Was in the 90s. Remember when she told us that?
She said she was disgusted.
Yes.
That's why she left.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
You know, it's nice, though, because and I've said this before, Sue, you've mentioned that one of the reasons you work for Dr. Edelstein is because he's the best.
Yes.
And you want to be, at this point in your career, it's not about the money, you know?
Yeah, I want to feel good. I have to sleep at night and know that people get good health care. I don't want to be shy or have my stomach nervous because somebody didn't get treated right or be because behind the scenes the office is not sterile and cleanly. I want to know that behind the scenes, everything is as good as it can be.
Mm. Wow. Well, today we're going to talk about cosmetic, here's a picture here of cosmetic gingival reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. This woman here has I know it's a woman. Well, the name is there. I'm not going to say the name. But it's a name that could be a man, too, but I can tell from the smile. Can't you tell that it's a woman?
You can tell. Yeah, there are some features.
Well, there's lipstick. That's a sure giveaway.
Hey, listen, we're in Midtown here. I'm not assuming anything. But she has a beautiful smile.
Yes, she does.
I'm looking at the top photograph. Of course, this is radio. The bottom photograph was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
And what gets me is not just that it looks like the entire gums are exposed, but you know, all the little capillaries and veins.
Well, the problem there is twofold. That's the same person, and that's the same time
frame. It's amazing.
That's the same time frame. What you're looking at is there's asymmetry, and the teeth are too short. And most people don't realize that we, as a periodontist, I fix the foundation. If you built a house, wouldn't the first, and you started from scratch, and you're a builder, or you contracted with the builder, wouldn't the first thing that you did would be to make sure that you have an expert grading the property, pouring a foundation according to code and according to specification, and making before you build the top of the house, you make sure the foundation is healthy. There was an old expression that the wise man built the house upon rock, not upon sand.
Hmm.
And that's what we do. As a periodontist, that's what I do as a periodontist. My job is to fix the foundation, is to make sure it's healthy. We've talked about that on previous shows. Mm-hmm. Make sure that it's disease-free, infection-free. But one of the things that I do and we're trained to do is to make sure that things are the right proportion and symmetry. That is so important. Whether someone needs cosmetic dental work or doesn't need cosmetic dental work, the first step should be to see a periodontist and make sure the foundation is healthy and cosmetic.
All right, so let me ask you this about this woman here.
Yes.
And it looks like the photograph says November 2, 2015, so we're talking about a very current photo.
She just
here.
Came in yesterday.
Okay. So you said her teeth were too short.
Yes.
Okay. Now, is that a genetic thing? You're born with teeth that are too short?
It can be. It can.
Or are they too short relative to the gum line?
Well, yeah, actually her teeth are the right length. You just can't see them because the gum tissue is covering up what already exists. That's the premise most of the time of a gummy smile.
So what did you do for this woman to make have her such a beautiful smile?
I didn't do it yet, but we're going to. So our treatment plan is to raise the gum tissue and expose more of the beautiful crown that she already has, that tooth that, that Sue mentioned, and to make it more even because it's a little bit asymmetric now. There's on one side, the tissue is a little lower, and on the other side, the tissue is a little higher. So we're going to, rather than her having this crooked looking gum line, which makes her smile look crooked, we're going to straighten it out, raise it, and create a more, a better ratio of the width to the length of her teeth.
Wow. It sounds like you're an artist in a sense, you know?
Well, we are. We talked about my photography previously on another show, I believe. And it is. This is art. This is really fun stuff.
Aesthetics.
Because we create, it is, yeah. We create a beautiful smile. And for some of these patients, it's life-changing.
Oh, they're thrilled. They're in tears.
Do people understand when the things that you just said before? So in other words, what I think of when I think of somebody who needs cosmetic work, for instance, is that, well, maybe they have crooked teeth. You know, wouldn't that be one of the first things that people think of? Well, my teeth are crooked. If only my teeth were straight, I'd have a beautiful
smile.
Or
whiter. If only my teeth were whiter. When often their eye is not trained to see it like we do, often they're too short and juvenile. And they can have a dentist put on beautiful, brand new, white, shiny porcelain. But all it's going to be is
over
a shorter,
what?
Whiter, short, juvenile tooth. You haven't changed anything.
Well, it's what? Like it's like putting on deodorant
yes.
without
lipstick
taking a shower.
On a pig. What, isn't that, isn't that the phrase? You're putting yeah. lipstick on a pig?
Yeah. Yes. What the situation that Sue just described, either getting tooth whitening or veneers or crowns on short teeth, what that does is it calls attention to the fact that the teeth are too short. It makes them look even shorter. Because it's more obvious.
Right.
Yeah, and if it's too white, boy, you talk about the obvious factor then. You know, they think they have this gleaming white smile, and you're just, ooh, something's off. Wow.
You know, my daughter has told me that we don't see ourselves as others see us. That's a very scary thought, you know, because
yeah.
well, you might think you look pretty good.
Yeah.
And who
yeah.
knows what the rest of the world's out there saying
about you.
I know,
you're right.
You ever think about that?
No, I have thought about that, sure.
That's very scary.
Sure.
You ever think about that, Dr. Edelstein?
Yes.
You know, you may think you look pretty good, you know. And, well, your wife loves you, you know, and your kids love you.
Hopefully.
Hey, the rest of us might not. We're not quite as enamored with you as they are. You know?
I have a 17-year-old daughter right now. I can't do anything right in her eyes. Trust me.
I've met her, too.
Not a thing.
Where's she going to go to college, by the way? Have we decided?
I'm not allowed to say. She'll kill me.
The last I heard was University of Arizona.
That was her first choice. Now it's, is it Charleston College or College of Charleston?
College of Charleston. Oh, yeah.
So, but by the time the show airs, I'm sure it'll change again.
Isn't it nice, though, because she's very bright.
She's
well educated.
She's a good kid.
So she's got all these options.
Yeah.
You know, most kids don't.
Yeah.
You know, if they can even go to college at all, it's going to be some local school and, you know, well, whatever. But I think
she's a really good kid. She has a photographic memory, by the way. Unbelievable.
Devin
has a photographic memory, which she inherited from her mother and her grandmother. Great grandmother.
She inherited it from you, you know.
Not from me.
Right.
No.
We're going to take a break, but I want to, when we come back, I'm serious. I want to talk about, if you don't mind, us looking differently to ourselves than the way
mm-hmm.
others see us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. That's a great name, too, by the way. Great URL. Located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Next to the Darlington Apartments, which used to be a really happening place.
Yeah, sure did.
In this town. And we will be right back.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And I kind of teased before the break that I wanted to ask about us seeing ourselves the way that others see us, you know. By the way, sometimes I think we see ourselves worse than maybe others see us. Do you like seeing pictures
of
yourself?
It can work the opposite.
I hate to see pictures of myself. Where, like, I'll be walking down the street and I'll accidentally see my profile in the window.
Yeah.
In a reflection in the window. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Why does anybody talk to
yeah.
me?
Yeah. It depends. Like, I just had there was a picture of me that popped up on Facebook I sold my condo and my real estate agent posted our picture. And overall, it was a good picture. But I thought I was having a rockin' good hair day. And in the picture, I was like, wow, that was still bigger and fluffier than I thought. Wow, I thought it was much straighter than that. Really? I could have sworn it was a really good hair day.
All right, now,
I feel that way about my waistline sometimes.
Yeah.
When I see pictures of myself. And then, oh, I didn't know it was that big.
Oh, me too. I see like a picture of me sitting from the side. And I'm like, oh, my God.
But you want to hear something? It's interesting that we bring that up about seeing ourselves from different angles. When patients look at their smile, they're really looking in a mirror, and because the eyes are a few inches above the mouth,
yeah,
they're looking down on their smile. They're not seeing their smile the way other people see
level.
Their smile.
Well,
it's not eye level. It's just
no, it's not at eye level.
So what they, you know, it bounces in the mirror and the reflection bounces in the mirror and into their eyes, and they're actually looking down on their smile.
I think
so
one of the
when we take photographs and we show them what their smile looks like from the front or from the sides.
Yes.
They are shocked because they never see themselves from the side.
Wow.
That on their shocking. Own.
It's a very objective way to view yourself, to have your smile taken, smiling, and then retracted with the lips pulled back and from the side shots. And as soon as we sit down and show it to them, it's crystal clear. It's like that old poster, Where's Waldo? You have a hard time finding them, but once you find them, you'll always find them. Once you see it, you'll always see it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. And if you deny it, I'm going to say you're lying. When you see a picture, like a group picture, you and five other people in a picture. I mean, honestly, isn't the first thing you look for is yourself? To see, you know.
Sure.
You
know, I think that's a natural thing.
Yeah, it's a natural thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people who say, oh, no, I don't do that. I want to see. Yeah, right. Uh-huh, buddy. You know, but I hate to see pictures of myself. I don't like my profile, you know, my chin, my nose, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just as soon, you know. I don't look in the mirror that much. I'm serious, I don't. I look in the morning when I'm getting dressed and maybe at night when I'm brushing my teeth to go to bed. That's about it. I prefer not to. And when I go get a haircut and the barber wants to show me the back, you know, up there. I don't need to see the latest developments there. I'll take your word for it. It looks fine.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I never want to look at the back of my head.
There you go. See?
When you know, what I tell the hairdresser, and I've said this many times, I said, I don't look back there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
What exactly are we looking at, anyways? Yeah. They do like to do that, and they twirl you around. And
well, they want to show you their beautiful work and how good you look from the back.
All I'm going to see is the big bald spot in the back. I seem to be developing pretty. Actually, you want to know something? At my age, I have a lot more hair than I ever thought that I would because my father was.
You have a good
bald.
Head of hair.
Well, thank you.
You have a good head of hair.
Thank you. What are you doing tonight? I'm just kidding. My dad though was bald and he combed it over. You know. Like it really fooled a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But the reason I was asking about seeing ourselves the way others see us
mm-hmm.
is that I want to tell you two something. I'm serious. You're both pretty good looking people. And I got to believe that helps your practice. That people, look, we enjoy, you know, the law firm that we use here, okay, it's a big law firm with hundreds of lawyers. It's a big, prestigious law firm. And the receptionist, who I think is like the front line of defense, uh-huh. you know, is very attractive, and I think that's for a reason. They're not going to have somebody. They're not going to have somebody who's unattractive sitting up there, you know, where you're in the waiting room where you're.
I think there's some good business sense to that. I used to work for a dentist a long time ago, and he said, "You know what? You got to pay the ugly ones the same that you pay the pretty, so you may as well hire the pretty ones."
Yeah, well, it's the truth. I mean,
well, I got to remember that one.
You know, we tell our children, you know, oh, looks don't matter. It's not important. What's really important is. You know, all the other things that's inside you. But in a way, I mean, I got to tell you, out in the business world.
There have been a lot of studies that show people who are attractive. You don't have to be a world-class beauty, but you present yourself nicely dressed, nicely groomed. You know, it doesn't have to be all out, drop-dead, perfectly gorgeous. Do get job interviews. They will get that second interview. They do have an air of confidence that does grab attention. These are studies.
All right, I just want to mention
something while we're on that thought. There are studies that show that people with an attractive smile tend to get promoted
quicker
than people with an unattractive smile.
There's got to be no question about that.
There are also studies that show that people with an attractive smile tend to have more opportunities to have intimacy with people that they are close to and want to be intimate with.
Okay. I want you to work on my smile tomorrow.
The gum doc can fix a lot of things.
You know, I was going to say kind of the converse, which is that when somebody has a really terrible smile, it just jumps right out at you.
Absolutely. Think about it.
They might not know it, but I sure see it.
Right. It's a persona. Whether they mean for it to be there or not, it doesn't... It says depressing. It says not happy. It says not well cared for. And that may not be the truth, but... it doesn't present a good picture.
All right, so let me ask you, Sue, then.
Uh-huh.
How do I say this? What do the female patients think of Dr. Edelstein?
They all think he's very handsome.
All right, now there you go.
Yes.
All right, I'm not asking you,
Dr. Edelstein.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
The elderly ladies are the cutest ones, though. They really just, they just fawn all over him.
Wasn't that great? That's who you're attracting.
Thanks.
But they're more vocal about it. The younger women would almost be too embarrassed. But the old ladies, I mean, they're 70.
No, they're uninhibited.
What do they care? They're, you know, my God, he's so good looking. Wow, I'm coming back more. I mean, you know, they don't hesitate.
Yeah, your whole staff, though, you're all good looking. You are, Sue, if you don't mind me saying. You know, Abby, Tina, who else have I met? Greg, well, he's, you know, he's Greg.
Well, I'm a woman. Greg is good looking. I'll say it.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, y'all can't say it, but, you know, I'll say it. Greg is handsome.
Those are the only ones that I think I know so far. Carol.
She's beautiful. Carol's adorable.
Carol's very pretty.
We don't have an ugly bunch in the crew,
No,
do we?
And I got to believe, I'm serious. Now, look, the most important thing is your competence, okay, as a periodontist.
It is.
But we're out here in the real world, okay, and these other things make a difference.
Yeah.
I got to believe that they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't you once tell me, Sue, that there was a dentist that you worked for and everybody loved him because he was so nice to them or something?
He was nice. He wasn't a good dentist, but his patients loved him.
And they loved him. And they kept coming back because he was so nice.
Yeah, yeah. But what's really great is when you're nice and you have the skills. That's a beautiful combination.
And that's where we're at right now.
That's where we're at. You're right.
All right, we're going to take a break, guys, when we come back. Dr. Edelstein, you've been very nice and... you know, you haven't been able to say much, you know, we're talking about you. But, now, if it was me, I'd be, you know, singing my praises here. Somebody's got her. All right, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of these photos that you brought to me. And remind us that we're on radio, but we're going to try to paint a picture here.
Sure, we can.
For our audience. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. They're located... 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking right there. You validate, and there's plenty of spots available, too. But I love the validation. I got to tell you.
It's nice. It's a nice
wonderful.
Thing we do that.
Listen,
I
don't care. Look, we have it here, too. I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter if I charge somebody $20,000 for something. If they get that free, there's something about, it's just a very nice little accoutrement.
It is.
Isn't there a word like that?
Yes.
Accoutrement.
Yeah.
To be able to validate somebody's parking. And it really turns people off when they charge them $20,000 for their advertising and then they ask to be validated and you say, we don't do that.
Yeah. You know? It's nice.
All right. We try.
You try. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. I was going to say, with Sue Edelstein and Dr. Skipper. That's how closely you work together. It's interchangeable. You know, we were saying about how you validate at your office. And by the way, the nice thing, too, is as soon as I walk in, they validate me because I'll forget.
Yeah.
And once I'm at my car, I don't feel like getting back into your building.
Yeah.
I have people here do it all the time. I've had people drive 2 miles or something and they come back to be, you know, they validate. I didn't have to pay. You know? How about the person, you had a patient who is a patient of yours, but wasn't coming that particular day to see you. She was coming to see a dermatologist
in the building
who did not validate.
Right. And she walked in and asked us to validate, which meant she wanted us to pay for her parking.
dermatologist.
To see someone else, the dermatologist.
That's what in Yiddish we call chutzpah.
Yes.
To do something like that.
Double chutzpah.
Double chutzpah. You know, my mom had gum disease. I remember when I was growing up, my mom had considerable problems with gum disease. And she went to a periodontist, Dr. Pallet. Milt Pallet was his name.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, really. in Levittown, Pennsylvania. And but the techniques were, they seemed like they were barbaric compared to what today.
Totally.
I mean, it's
different.
Like, I'm telling you, he cut off like maybe, I don't know how many millimeters it would be in dentistry, but it seemed like it was about maybe an eighth of an inch.
Completely different
techniques.
It was
just awful for her.
Yeah.
And then there was this foil.
Yeah, the tin
kidding.
Foil and toothpick packing.
So you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, that's real old school.
That predated me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my mom had chemotherapy many years later. She said, I think that was easier than
Thank God that predated me. I never did any cases like that.
But it was, it just seemed barbaric.
It was, which why I'm glad it predated me.
So here's a picture here. This says cosmetic gingival reduction. What is the gingiva?
The gum tissue.
Okay.
Basically.
So the gums are called the gingiva.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Another word.
Okay. So this is, I'm trying to guess whether this is a man or a woman. I'm going to say a woman. But
yes.
Correct.
Okay. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So folks, all we see here is the lips and the mouth, the lips and the teeth. So we can't see anything else.
Yeah.
But we can tell, I can tell at least that it's a woman. At least that's what I think. Can you describe, Dr. Edelstein, what's going on here with this woman? It says, an attractive gum line is often the first step in building a beautiful smile. So her teeth seem straight. They don't seem
Her teeth are perfectly straight. She has way, and she has beautiful tooth structure underneath the gum tissues, but her tooth structure is covered up by a lot of gum tissue. So she has teeny tiny looking teeth. This particular patient also had some bonding that was very old, maybe it was 10 or 20 years old, and it needs to be replaced. And her plan was to have veneers, to have new, beautiful dental work. So I was called upon by her dentist to raise the gum line and create the proper ratio of width to length before he made the veneers. So actually, that evening, she was so happy, she was crying. She wasn't in any discomfort, but she was hysterical crying because she was smiling for the first time and didn't see a huge amount of gum tissue.
Yeah, because in this pre-op, I guess that's, you know, the pre versus post, you know, before and after picture.
That's very clever.
Before you see, yeah, okay.
You figured that out.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm with it. So you see the gums above the teeth there, and it's not very attractive looking.
Yes. Yeah, and getting back to what we were saying earlier, had her dentist not been very savvy, another dentist might have just put more white porcelain on these short teeth, and she still would have had a gummy smile. Beauty is symmetry and proportion. Now she has a dazzling smile, not just a white, shiny smile, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know what gets me is that there are a lot of people who don't think that these techniques are available to help them.
Oh, and they're so easy to have done. It's probably one of the easiest surgeries we do. Absolutely.
Well, it's technically demanding, but from the standpoint of the patient, they're very, very, very easy.
Yeah.
These folks that you're looking at, these before and afters, these folks are back to work the next day.
Wow.
Without any, you know, maybe taking ibuprofen.
Wow. Yeah. It looks like a major change, too. And
it is a major change. But the techniques have evolved to the point to where they are very, very atraumatic. They are very easy. And these folks routinely are back to work the next day.
You know what gets me is the one who, you know, like you have the four questions, you know, you know, the one son who, I don't know, I can't remember. It's been about 6 months.
Well,
but there's one who doesn't know to know.
The wicked son, the wise son, the wicked son, the simple son, and the one that doesn't know to ask.
Okay. Well, there's some people who don't know
to ask
that they don't know.
Right.
Right.
That's a son that doesn't know how to ask the question, or doesn't know what they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So don't you get that a lot, though? They don't know to even ask.
Oh yeah. You mean from the standpoint of the dentist, that it isn't even figuring it out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you know what's sad is sometimes in our professional magazines, we'll see ads for companies that make porcelain and sell it to the lab, and they'll have these before and afters, and the teeth will still be all different sizes and all different lengths and uneven, or the gums, but this beautiful white porcelain, it's still the same problem.
And they have that in their literature?
Yes, and it's like, golly, it's so easy to have done. It's so easy to accomplish.
What gets me, though, there's also the person who doesn't even seem to care. And there's a lot of them. You know, sometimes they're in the more, you know, rural areas, perhaps, if you know what I'm saying. But they don't even,
yeah,
it's not even a priority to them. And they think
you know, if beauty is not a priority, I mean, we can't fault someone for that per se. Health, that's a different issue. But for anyone that does want to see what could be done from a cosmetic standpoint of view, often it does start with a good, well-proportioned gum line, not the teeth.
These interesting things that we're talking about on these really making a huge difference in these patients and their smile, that's better than any Botox or Restylane or this has more of an impact than probably a facelift for these patients.
Oh gosh, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yet they'll spend, you know, $15,000 on a facelift, and when this could be, you know, peanuts compared
to. Well, also too, what we do is usually a lifetime result. The gums don't, if it's done right and it has to be done correctly, the gums will stay at that level. They're not having it done every 6 months or every 3 years.
You can't say that about the surgery, the facelift.
Facelift's got to be redone.
You know,
Botox's got to go in every 6 months. I mean, this really is, it's a simple thing to have done with a huge payoff.
Wow.
It's fun. It's exciting. It's something we do a lot of.
On a cost-benefit standpoint, there is a huge benefit and surprisingly minimal cost for these types of procedures.
Wow. Do you have a person just come in, you have patients who come in just want an evaluation? They say, let me show you my smile. Tell me what, if anything, you can do to help me.
Yeah.
I think every case you're looking at now starts off the same way.
Yeah.
And we educated and empowered these folks to make the decision that they, you know, to do these procedures that would be immensely helpful in their appearance.
I think there are a few unique things that our practice offers when it comes to a cosmetic survey. Number one is we do take these photographs of each and every case. It's a picture of their mouth. It's not an ideal look that we're going to pull off a book off a shelf. So every case does get photographed and analyzed. A second thing that I think is unique to our practice is Dr. Edelstein's artistic skill. We talked about it in the previous show that he's a fine art black and white photographer. That does have an effect. He's already got a natural eye for what's beautiful, symmetrical, and well-proportioned. Dentistry is an art and a science. And as the surgeon, he's got to bring the science to the game.
So aren't there
but as an artist, he's got that little bit of extra edge.
So aren't there certain ones, maybe even cosmetic dentists, who don't have that? They've got, they're very good from a technical standpoint, but they don't have the artistry.
Correct.
Yes. You know, I think a good artist like you, for instance, you know, you can picture in your mind what.
Yeah.
See, I can't. I don't have that quality. I have a lot of other qualities, by the way. And if you don't mind, on a future show, I'm going to tell you a lot of them. But I don't have that particular quality.
Ansel Adams used to say that in order to make a fine art photograph, you have to have the end point in mind.
Interesting.
And then the steps along the way will be clear.
Do you do that when you photograph?
Yes.
You can picture in your mind.
I try to, the same thing, whether I photograph or I'm thinking of one of these smile enhancements. I have the end point in mind. And then I need to, and then I figure out the steps along the way that I need to achieve that.
He already sees it. Even if they haven't had their temporaries put on, even if that permanent, beautiful veneers and crowns haven't been done, he already sees it. It's already in his mind, that end point. He works like that. It's a beautiful phenomenon.
By the way, when we talk about, you know, the gums showing and the smile, it seems like all these pictures that I've seen so far, it's the upper teeth.
Yes.
Rather, we've looked at three so far, and they're all the upper teeth. Is that common?
Yeah, the upper tends to show more, but we are called upon from time to time to provide the same thing for the lower teeth if they show in a smile line.
And I think sometimes when I'm brushing my teeth, that this is the top, this is what people are going to see here, the top. I better
so
do a really good
time.
Job on it. The bottom, who cares? I don't really want to see that, you know, or the back or whatever. No, I actually do a very good job when I brush, a really thorough job. But all these pictures so far, on these particular ones, it's the top. And you can see how prominent the teeth are.
Yeah.
For these cosmetic cases, it more commonly is the top.
Tell us about this patient, if you don't mind. This is another woman.
You're doing good, Jeff.
Hey, pretty good. This woman was an art teacher, and her husband, I think, was a teacher as well. So it wasn't a family of great means. They had three children.
No, but they're going to retire nicely. I'm just telling you, teachers. Two retirements.
Go ahead. Maybe so. They put three kids through college, and when the last son or daughter, I don't remember, was finishing college, she decided to maybe do something for herself. She had crowns that were 25, 30 years old, and she had this very gummy smile, and she was referred to us to help the restorative dentist create a beautiful smile line by enhancing the tissue level, and then the dentist provided some beautiful crowns afterwards. And when she came in for that post-operative photograph, smile shot that you're looking at, Jeff, she gave me a kiss and a hug, and she started crying.
Yeah, wow. She was deeply moved.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
How wonderful. And like you said, they weren't people of great financial means.
No. This was time for her. They focused on their three children, and now that they were finished and out of the house and graduated from college, it was time for her to do something for herself.
Now, do you often work in tandem with their general dentist?
Yeah.
How does that work? Is it?
We have a beautiful give and take relationship, and we use digital photographs to coordinate our case and to orchestrate not only my work but the work that the dentist does, and it's a very, very beautiful thing, a beautiful, beautiful relationship.
You get called, though, a lot by other dentists, don't you? I mean, it's very common. You're there at the top of the, you're there at the top of the profession, and they contact you, and we've talked about this in previous shows, for help and assistance and suggestions. And
yes, frequently.
For your opinion, what they should do, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it works very well when you, then they refer a patient to you, perhaps, and you're working in tandem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or just as many patients come to us that haven't been referred, just on their own.
Like me.
Like you?
That's what I did. But that's very common. Yes. Happens all the time.
Yes.
You don't have to be referred by your general dentist, folks.
No, they're both
common ways to get to us.
Okay, and you can see this woman's got a beautiful smile.
Isn't it pretty?
Yes.
Now,
it's
what
beautiful.
If we didn't address the gum line, Jeff? I wish our listeners could see this. She would have had a whiter porcelain placed on short, squatty, uneven teeth.
Wow.
What good is that in the long run?
And it just, something you folks said earlier was, all right, so you get a facelift, you spend all that money, like $15,000, let's say, in a facelift, and then you still got this smile here. It just seems like a shame.
Right.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
It would be terrible. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we have a few more photos here to look at. And these are amazing, pre-op and post-op, and what you can do. And basically what we're talking about is what we call gingival reduction.
Reduction. Gum sculpting. A gum lift, if you will.
Outstanding. All right, folks. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. We'll be back with more of Open Wide when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. So we've been talking about gingival reduction, which is basically the gums,
mm-hmm.
and what we do to the gums. And here's a picture of another. This is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell. This is a woman. Okay. Boy, I see you see such a radical change in her. When you said, Sue, that there was no, the teeth themselves were fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep, her teeth were beautiful. They didn't need veneers or crowns, but was her smile that attractive?
No.
She showed a lot of pink.
No,
it looks 13 years old. She's a beautiful 22, 23-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just saw her smile, she looks like she's 13. So when she's 30 and 40 and 50, if she did not have this done, she would still have a juvenile smile.
Do you have as many male patients as female, or more? Does it seem to be more female?
For these cosmetic cases, probably maybe 2/3 female.
I'd say that's right. Yeah.
So something like that.
Yeah. We do have male patients.
Yes.
And
frequently.
Yeah.
But it's more common to for women to pursue the cosmetic.
What about a man who's in business, though? Works at a bank, he's an attorney or a doctor or whatever.
We'd mentioned before, for advancement in a career, this is something that people look for.
You know, one of the things that I say to myself, too, is when somebody, you see, just their mouth looks terrible, aside from the fact that I say, well, gee, what a shame, you know, if this person only, you know, but I also say this person is rather unsophisticated.
Yes.
Because this person doesn't know enough to go get some help, doesn't realize how bad they look.
Yeah.
You know?
Getting back to what we were talking earlier, you don't always, you look differently than you may realize than that you do.
That's a very
scary. It goes in the good and bad, and it goes in both ways.
It's a very scary proposition.
Yeah.
You look differently. You mean you're saying you might even look better than you think you look?
You could look better than you really do than you do, or you could look worse than you.
Well,
you might be attractive and think that you're not.
Well, I happen to know that I look a lot worse to people than I think that I look. Not
better. I wouldn't agree with that.
Oh, no, you don't know what I think, but I got to tell you. Man, train wreck. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. No.
All right, so here are three more. Are these are three different people here.
Same person.
Oh, this woman here?
Yes.
No.
These are all the same.
That's the same person. Okay. The top share series is a before and after, straight on. The two below that are side shots, before and after, because what we wanted to show is how different this patient is viewed from the side by other people.
We never see ourselves from the side.
You never see that view. Never, ever, ever.
But everybody
else
does.
Even the hairdresser. Even the hairdresser in a mirror doesn't show you the side smile like that.
You know, when I see people smile and you see from the side and then the discoloration of the teeth, I think it's awful.
We never see that in the mirror. So I think those side shots are incredibly helpful.
And this woman looks beautiful.
Look at her look at her smile. It's amazing.
How old is this woman? Is this... the other one was about 23 years old, right? So she was very young.
Yeah.
I don't remember, Sue.
I don't remember on that case either.
Let me take a quick peek. You know who I think this is? I think this is the woman that I met at a cocktail party who's in her late 40s.
Could have been.
And she walked up to me and said, look, I just had orthodontics as an adult. Doesn't it look great? And I was very nice. I said, yes, your teeth are lined up beautifully, but what are you going to do, about your gums? And she goes, I thought about that. She came into the office about 2 days later, and we did this procedure, and she left on a cruise the next day, had no discomfort, and that's who it is.
Wow, and she was able to go on the cruise the next
day. Yes, she's late 40s. Again, someone whose kids probably finished, got off the payroll at the household payroll, and they graduated from college, and now it was time for her.
You know, it's interesting when you look at all these pictures, when you look at the pre versus the post, like this woman here is just, she really has kind of, her teeth look nice, but you don't notice that. You don't notice her nice teeth. You're just drawn right to the gums, the big pink gums.
Absolutely.
Look how young and juvenile she looked before we did a tissue sculpting.
It really did. When you go to a party, because you mentioned you met her at a cocktail party.
I did.
Okay. And you tell people what you do for a living, is that kind of a magnet for people? Is it
kind of
an icebreaker,
Do
people come up to you with their personal problem or their friend who has a problem?
Yeah, they'll come up and talk
you
about
get a
their
lot
friend.
Of men.
Yeah, that'll be common. They'll talk about their friend. It's actually not that common for people to come up, and I'm happy to help if someone has a question or usually when that happens, it's usually someone who we know pretty well and they have a question about a daughter or a friend or something, really a friend.
Yeah, truly a friend, not them.
Or themselves, but usually it's only a close circle of folks that we know that will come up and ask.
You know, you talked about the woman who was a teacher and she put her kids, she and her husband, both teachers, and they put their kids through college. Now, the woman wanted to do something for herself, and you said that they were not people of great financial means. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an idea, like in a case like this woman, perhaps, what would it cost? I mean, is there financing available?
We offer interest-free financing for a year. And to do any of the cases that you're looking at, these beautiful before and afters, it costs roughly the cost of 1 to 2 crowns of veneers. So that's not terribly expensive.
No, not at all. But
not if they're getting ready to have 8 to 10 new crowns done and were the cost of 1 or 2 of those crowns. It's a small thing to do to really enhance your case.
Also, think about it. You ever think about the stuff that people spend a lot of money on? That's like, hello.
We just had a discussion about
that. What is your priority
today?
Here?
Right. We had a patient call us in emergency. She called Dr. Edelstein over the weekend. She has gum disease. We saw her a year ago. We only treated half her mouth. She left. She disappeared. She's walking around with the other half untreated. Now she's got an emergency. But she needs to get in to see us because she's leaving for a cruise next week.
Yeah.
And the reason she didn't do anything for years because she didn't think she had the money.
Yeah.
but she's leaving for a cruise next week.
I mean, I'm all for having a vacation, but if the choice is you say you don't have money for your health, but yet you're enjoying a new cruise or a new car, I just have to wonder, really, is your health important to you?
You know, I got a lawyer friend who did a will. It was rather complicated for this couple. They were going to visit, they were going to the Orient. They were going to fly to the Orient, and they wanted to have wills done because, you know, they're taking a trip. It could be a little hazardous. You never know. So he did spend all this time doing the will, and when it came time to pay, the wife turned to the husband and said, well, why don't we just give him half now, and we'll give him the other half at the end of the trip. And he was like, oh, so you had your wills done in case you die. You're going to pay me half now.
Yeah.
You know? And on that note, that is going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. I could talk to you guys all day, but unfortunately, we are out of time, and I thank you both.
You're welcome.
Very much.
Pleasure.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.